So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all my shirts all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Music, wine, and then move up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I'm imagining your
pants. Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to another week of By the By.
Yeah.
I'm Bradford.
I'm Angela.
And we are here with two sexy, smart people.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't give them microphones. So instead, you get Kobe as the gentleman.
I was thinking that's something's happening here.
I'm an asshole.
Walk around in the summertime saying, how about this heat?
So sorry. All jokes aside, they are the sexy, smart people that we have invited once again back on the podcast. They're becoming so much regulars that we're going to start having to pay them.
Wait, we don't even pay ourselves.
Just for clarification, I'm the sexy one. He's the smart one.
No, nobody ever doubted that you weren't the smart one, babe. Which one of these two is going to be the smart one? It's not going to be the gentleman. So sorry. I'm a little bit abusive tonight, but it's out of a warm, loving place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's just like deep in the cockles of my heart.
Deep.
Maybe even in the colon. Deep. We don't know.
In the cockles of my heart. Uh-huh. So, what do we have coming up? September 23rd, we have the next Pendulicious Pendulum Party at Our Secret Spot. If you want to get your tickets, look at www.oursecretspot.com.au, or you can go to our website, www.bytheby.com.au, and go to events, and you can find a link through there.
Do we know what number pendulum we're up to?
20.
Give me a moment.
Dude.
Okay, now I'm going to drag it out because this is kind of entertaining.
Is it the girl from Ipanema?
The girl from Ipanema.
The girl from Ipanema was calling.
So, I will say.
That's you. Hang on. Da 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 da.
Also, I will give myself a little pat on the back because at the last pendulum party, when we got up on stage and we did the whole welcome, thank you kind of thing.
Willkommen and fucking you.
Bradford looked at me and he was like, and this is pendulum. And I was just like, I think it's 24. And it was 24. So now next one's going to be 25.
Oh my gosh. Pendulum is turning 25.
Yeah. Quarter of a anniversary.
So it can now rent a car with better insurance.
Yeah. I'm just happy that I knew actually where we were without having to look it up.
That's impressive. Okay.
But I looked it up and the next one's 25. So we're good.
We'll have to do something special.
Yeah.
I need to talk to Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yes. And then October.
Oh, come on. You're there. You're good with the dates now. You got it.
17th,
35th, the 8th, 53rd.
You're holding your fingers up. 8th. I thought it was 35th. Like, there's not.
He's reading left to right. Yeah, that's fair enough.
You're right.
October 35th.
I'm in Australia. I gotta go 53rd. October 53rd.
It's a leap year.
Oh my god. Okay. I'm clearly not the smart one.
So pretty.
On October 8th is the erotic ball that we are very excited to go to. If you want to get tickets to the erotic ball, again, you can go to our website through the events page. And then coming up in November, the 7th through the
9th to 14th.
Yeah. All right. Nobody put Bradford in charge of dates anymore.
We're doing the Escape to the Tropics with exclusively RHP. Look, all you have to know is you don't put your vacation time based in on what I say.
Or you do, and you'll get some random days, you know.
Hey, you know what? Take that time for yourself. You've earned it. You deserve it. Just take the time. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look, don't judge me. Fuck off. Yes, at this point, we may not have any seats left, but you can be put in. If we don't have any rooms left, we do have, at this point, we have one room remaining. But yes, when this podcast releases, we may not have any.
Who knows?
You can be put on a wait list.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Just like me waiting to be upgraded on all of my flights. It may never happen. I can be honest. It just,
or you it, may might. Be, it might.
It might. It might. No. It's not happened yet, but someday. Mm. So, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, nothing too serious. That's for sure. Yeah.
Well, the gentleman was just defining a word for us. What does etymology mean?
Etymology is the study of ants.
Thank you, Treebeard.
I don't know. What does entomology mean?
Etymology.
Yeah, entomology is the study of bugs.
Insects and bugs, oh, yeah.
Right.
Etymology is the study of words and the origins of those words.
See,
so what's the origin of entomology?
You just proved that you're not the sexy one, Dave. Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
What is the etymology of etymology?
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't realize this, but et is Latin for language.
Language, yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just said that.
You said it with such grace and poise. I would have believed it.
Yeah.
Officially, etymology is the study of the origin of words and the way in which their meanings have changed throughout history.
Yeah. Ooh, which I think is probably what we're really going to focus on, is that change throughout history.
Okay.
Yes, in some cases.
This podcast all stems from a question that happened on our Discord chat, which if you haven't listened to the podcast before, if you have listened to the podcast before, you're like, oh, goddamn, this guy's talking about Discord again. Look, our Discord people are amazing, and we love them. And sometimes they inspire us to make podcasts, and that's where this one came from.
And to learn and to better ourselves.
Yeah. Someone asked a question, which was, what is the origin of the word queer? And we were like, what a brilliant question. We don't know. Let's do some digging. And so we started doing some digging, and then Angela, I mean, because Bish, she don't got a shovel. She got a backhoe, and she started looking up other words, and this whole podcast became what it is. If you want to be one of those folks that inspires us to become, you know,
better
and etymologists and start digging up other things, you can join us on our Discord. Support us on patreon.com, www.patreon.com/bythebypodcast at any level, and you will get a link to be in the conversation with us. So, without further ado.
I mean, a slight backwards there. But it's funny because you say that. And if a lot of people ask, like, what I do, and I'm thinking, like, you know, for work, et cetera, my default simple one-word answer is scientist.
Research.
However, I'm now thinking maybe I should make that researcher because I love to research this shit.
You're a researchologist.
Yeah. Like, this is my wheelhouse. This is what I enjoy. This is what I do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. We're going to go with that.
So, in that house, Angela's got this big wheel of research, and she gets in it like an oxen, and she, like, puts the bit in her mouth, and she takes her shirt off, and her boobs are all flapping around, and, like, as boobs do, I don't know.
That's how she thinks. She holds onto
she does. Them. She holds onto her boobs, and she's like, I'm going to spin this wheel. And yeah, so next thing you know, the wheels and you know, like she's.
I'm
like,
imagining Rrr. There's someone tied to the wheel when she's. Been-
When I say that, when she says her wheelhouse, it means that people are tied to the wheel, and she's like, "Yeah, you want this wheel, don't you?"
I'm picturing one of those big wheels, like Price is Right, like how you like spin those wheels.
Yeah. As they say, big wheels keep on turning. Proud Mary keeps on burning.
I'm just more picturing a Rube Goldberg machine that has people stuck on a rack and getting hit with floggers every time you spin the wheel.
Like Angela pushes like a domino over,
and off it goes,
and it ends up with getting flogged.
I'm okay with this.
Me too. Keep spinning that wheel.
Okay, so yeah. So that little...
He wheelie wants it.
Oh, God. Fuck. Okay, and that sets the tone for the podcast. But yeah, so this all stemmed from the Discord listener who asked about the etymology of the word queer. And there were some things posted at the time on the Discord chat. But then it got me thinking, like, that's such a great thing to talk about is not only the word queer, but other words. And so I've put together.
like we've had anything to do with the research on this.
It's the royal we.
Right. So I/the royal we have put together a list of words, and then I've looked up what the etymology is of them. And I've tried to consolidate because there's a lot of, you know how the fucking web is. There's so much information in so many different places and you get bits and pieces and whatever. So I've tried to consolidate it all down together into something that is cohesive and makes sense. We'll find out if it does or not.
Ooh, challenge accepted. Yeah.
But we're going to start not with the word queer.
Oh, okay. Are we going to save that to like somewhere later?
Yeah. Somewhere later. Yeah. We're going to start with kinky.
Ooh. All right.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Kinky.
I am going to make a speculation that this has to do with the Knights of the Round Table and like chainmail.
Sir Kink.
Sir Kinks-a-lot.
I am Sir Lancelot the Brave. I am Sir Kinks-a-lot the Please Fog Me.
It's actually much, much older than you think.
Is it like Jesus said it?
I
think it's an Egyptian term.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's 4,000 years old. And it was a carpenter that built things crooked.
It's like Jesus.
Yeah, but. Yeah, shit carpenter.
It stands for shit carpenter. Oh my God. Look at, so here comes Sir Kinks-a-lot.
He was a carpenter's son. You know what I mean? Yeah. Doesn't mean he knew anything about carpentry.
Every single dresser he builds, shit just rolls right on the top. Yeah. All right. Tell us more.
It began in old Icelandic.
Okay.
Nearly 1,000 years ago.
Are those Norse people?
No, they're Icelandic. They're Scandinavian.
Aren't those Norse people?
No, that's from Norway.
Iceland is a different place.
Iceland is off the coast.
Is that why it's called Norway?
Iceland's an island. You know this, right?
Oh, Iceland, like Reykjavik.
Yeah, like Reykjavik. Well done, geography stamp there for Bradford.
Kentucky schooling.
Okay, number one, this is 50% my podcast.
Dude, we're only at the beginning here. This might be more than one podcast, folks, just letting you know.
Okay, so tell us more about Norway. Okay.
So we began in old Icelandic.
Oh, Iceland, sorry. My attention span is not that long right now.
Nearly 1,000 years ago.
Okay.
So the beginnings of it, how it came about, was the adjective kikna, K-I-K-N-A. Which means to bend backwards or sink at the knees.
Yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, I love it.
So then it went through Middle Low German, which I will admit, side note, I only learned about Low German and High German when I actually went to Switzerland. Yeah. And I was talking to people there and I was like, wait, there's different Germans? Because in the U.S., we just know fucking German, right? No, there's Low and there's High German.
It's like Southern U.S. and Northern U.S.
So this went through Middle Low German.
Middle Low. I mean, as you do.
Okay.
And the word there was... Don't judge me on pronunciation whatsoever. I'm going to do my best, but I will spell it. It was kinke, which is K-I-N-K-E.
Okay.
Into Dutch, kink, as you expect, K-I-N-K. And that's where it came to mean to twist in a rope. So it's like a twist in a rope.
Oh.
So that came about ultimately from the Dutch. And then in the 1600s, the English borrowed the word from the Dutch. And
you
they
mean stole.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the English don't do anything. They never borrow a shit.
Oh, excuse me. These words are ours now.
We will put them in the British Museum.
Oh my God.
So when the English stole
it, did you say English?
English.
Go on.
Okay.
Pretty. You're so pretty when you fall apart.
Okay. No, I can't stop laughing. It's not even that funny.
The tears in your eyes are
so different. I say otherwise.
That's going to the Discord.
Yeah. Okay. Where was I? Here we go. Okay. Stop laughing. Okay. So in the 1600s, the English borrowed the word from the Dutch. And again, they were referring to a twist in like curls in thread, rope, hair, etc. So they basically expanded that twisting and curling to other things besides just rope. Uh-huh. So they, I mean, loosely borrowed and basically stole and then expanded upon. And then in the English Oxford Dictionary's earliest written example of the noun kink, in English, it was from a 1678 edition of the New World of Words, which was a dictionary compiled by Edward Phillips. And in it, it says kink, K-E-E-N-K, in navigation, is when a rope which should run smooth in the block hath got a little turn and runs as it were double.
Right.
So, okay. It's,
so yeah, something so that's no longer uniform.
Yeah, that's right. Something that's not working quite as it should.
Yeah, and so it's bent over, it's bent doubled, over it's got a twist or turn in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the early 1800s, the word kink took on other more figurative meanings, including an odd notion, so like a mental twist rather than like a rope twist, right? Uh-huh. An odd but clever way of doing something. And one of the earliest examples of this is from 1803, a letter by Thomas Jefferson that says, "Should the judges take a kink in their heads in favor of leaving the present laws of Louisiana unaltered?"
Ooh, okay.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Look,
and a lot of Australian listeners won't know, but Jefferson was a kinky bastard.
So Thomas Jefferson was the second president of the, no, the
third.
Third president.
Sorry, Thomas Jefferson was the third president of the
Kentucky schooling again.
That's hey, it. fuck off. And yes, he was a kinky, rapey bastard.
Mm-hmm. Not a very nice gentleman.
No, not a good guy at all.
Right. So when the adjective kinky showed up in English in the 1800s, it meant having or full of kinks, closely curled or twisted, said especially of the hair of some races.
Well, that sounds...
we're not going to touch that one.
That just went to hell in a hat basket.
You do you.
I mean, look, etymology is not always...
Pretty.
Politically correct. Uh-huh. Yeah. The first Oxford English Dictionary example from an 1844 entry in the Congressional Globe, which was a predecessor of the Congressional Record, is a reference to a black person's kinky hair. And so in the late 1800s then, the adjective took on the sense of, or like the meaning of, odd or eccentric. And so the earliest example of this meaning was from 1889 in Sportsman magazine, where it said, quote, "The kinky ones and the worthy ones who play hole and corner with society." I don't know what hole and corner is.
We played that at Pendulum. The gentleman is a pro at hole
and corner. Well, yeah.
So is he a kinky one or a worthy one?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
I've done a few holes in the corner.
That's me in the corner, licking your hole.
And then in The Longest Journey, which was a 1907 novel by E.M. Forster, it says, quote, "This jaundiced young philosopher with his new kinky view of life was too much for him." So we're starting to change the meaning of kink here kind of in the early 1900s.
From a rope thing to a personality.
Yeah.
Thing.
I wonder if it was girth or length that was too much. Yeah.
But it is very interesting. And you look at that. The original etymology is that it's a kink. It's a
twist or
a
twist, abnormal.
Which is really not too different to how we have it right now.
Yeah, and the chain mail.
The chain. But it's no different. It's just a twist on what is the normative.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, it is still closely associated with ropes.
Yeah, very much so. There's a
and chainmail.
Yeah. Ropes, chainmail. Yeah.
And then in the mid-20th century, so mid-1900s, kink took on a slightly further meaning of a sexually abnormal person, one who practices sexual perversions loosely, an eccentric, a person wearing noticeably unusual clothes, behaving in a startling manner, etc. So the earliest citation for this version of the meaning was from 1965 in an issue of Harper's Bazaar. Quote, "His phone is ex-directory because of all the kinks who used to phone at 2 a.m. So now it's referring to a person. Who has these qualities, right? Yeah, right. So we've gone from a rope to the quality to the person.
Is that the 60s where people were a little bit more open about their sexuality, maybe, or their sexual.
Yeah. More discussion around it, or
the sexual revolution,
the sexual,
right?
Yeah. More discussion around it. Yeah,
and even a slight bit before that, the adjective kinky was used to describe someone given to sexual behavior regarded as strange or unconventional. And in 1959, it was used in the novel Absolute Beginners. The quote there is, Susie, ... meets lots of kinky characters, ... and acts as agent for me getting orders from them for my pornographic photos. So again, you're starting to talk about people in that regard. And then it came to be of a thing, so like clothing, like provocative clothing and boots, as in Kinky Boots. We're all very familiar, at least have heard of this musical, yeah. Kinky Boots, musical movie, whatever.
Sexy
Kinky
Revolution,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so in 1963, in an issue of the Annual Register, which is a British reference that summarizes each year's events, there was a quote that it was the year that women adopted the fashionable long kinky boot.
Yeah.
So it's gone through a bit of a history, a bit of evolution there. I don't think it's anything that's really surprising,
yeah.
Per se.
Yeah.
Because it kind of logically makes sense as time goes on how that word has been. I mean, I guess it's how we do with a lot of words, is we pervert them and we take them and we use them in different ways. But it's gone from, you know, describing something nautical, ropes and things, and then you're going to hair and other ties and stuff, and then to things and people, and then to lifestyle.
Yes, but it's
so it's all gone.
But all the way, it's comparing something from its normal state to its altered state of whatever that may be.
Yeah. Mm.
I feel like the base meaning is the same. It's what it's applied to that has changed.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I thought Kinky Boots was an older movie. It actually didn't come out until 2005.
But it was still set in the 60s, wasn't it?
I think it's the 70s.
Early 70s, somewhere around there. Yeah. Mm.
But it's
that would make sense then, given the timing of how the language changed.
Yeah. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
That's good.
Cool. Good. We're ready to move on.
You betcha.
Well, but now it applies to so many different. When you hear kinky now, what comes to the forefront of your mind?
That's a good
alternative
question.
Alternative lifestyles.
Yeah.
So to me, it's the very end of that evolution. Is it's no longer the thing, what it applies to the person, it's now a lifestyle, I would say, is what I think of.
But lifestyle in regards to sexual habits. There is a definite sexual connotation.
I would say there's a definite sexual connotation.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily always sex, but I can say that.
Private life.
Yeah, private life, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's still something that's
abnormal.
That's abnormal compared to the
normal.
Mainstream.
Yeah.
Compared to mainstream.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't see it abnormal as a, this is a bad thing, but mm-mm. Abnormal as
no,
in.
Yeah, so kinky's still alternative, isn't it?
Yes.
It's an alternative to the norm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If you use the word kink and you say, hi, the gentleman has a kink, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is what I find just magical about words, because if you say that hose has a kink, I know exactly what you're talking about too.
True.
But
arguably,
and that is the original etymology of the word.
You could apply the same sentence to
and
me,
it's
that ho has a kink. Yeah.
you don't mean that the hose is a kinky, dirty little hose.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Dirty
hose. But I know it's not normal.
I do think that there's something.
It's not straight and narrow.
That's right.
Specifically different between kink and kinky.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, one is the noun and or verb, and the other is the adjective.
Yes. Yeah.
But you can say I have a kink in my neck.
Correct.
And you don't think it's a sexy thing.
Sexy thing
at
all.
I have a kink in my neck. Yeah. I like it to be pointed with electrostimulation.
If I have a kink in my pants, people will think differently.
Depends on what kind of pants you're wearing.
If they're rope pants, they may just be twisted.
Or chainmail. I'm going back to chainmail. Yeah, that is an interesting.
Yeah.
And I wonder how that word will change in the years following.
Oh, I hope it becomes more mainstream and awesome.
I do. Yeah.
I
think it will, because I mean, if we look at how words do change over time, it seems like they do, and we'll get to some examples later where they've changed and gone from twisted to negative to positive connotations. Mm. And you never know, but yeah,
spoiler alert.
I think now if you label yourself as kinky, it is a bit more positive, right? Like. I don't know. I don't see it
as a negative. Mm-mm. I think
I don't see it as a negative.
I'm not sure it's a positive, but it's not negative.
The question is, was it ever negative?
Yeah.
Was kinky ever used as a slur?
I don't think so. No.
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 No, I don't think so.
No,
either,
but it was used to describe something aside from the norm.
Yeah but that doesn't make it bad.
But that's exactly what we're talking about. That's the etymology of the original word. The rope, the very first origin, is different from the norm.
Also, rich is different than the norm, and I wouldn't see that as a terrible thing. I mean, I do think we should eat the rich, but, you know, like...
Well, I don't think that kinky has ever been a slur, though.
Yeah.
So I would say it's not ever been negative. It doesn't look like...
Yeah, it's nowhere near as pejorative of some of the other words we're going to go through.
I
think there would have been a negative at some point to the meaning of perverted.
No, that's not the word, is
that's
it?
Right. That's kinky. No, but, it, not
but, if, but if it's like, oh yeah, you're a kinky bastard.
But is perverted a negative thing? I don't think it is.
Okay.
Hmm. We agree to disagree.
Yeah, I think at some point that was.
I'm the same. I don't think perverted.
I don't think perverted was ever bad. I think kinky. I don't see it as a slur.
Perverted as the origin of you are perverted isn't negative, but you are a pervert is a completely different thing.
True. Yeah,
especially
true.
If you say it like that. Oh, put the accent on the wrong syllable.
Syllable.
All right, what's your next word, kiddo?
The next word is polyamory.
Oofed.
Now, y'all are going to have to hang in for a long time here.
All right. Well, before we do that, then, we better take a quick break. So if you want to hear about polyamory, stick with us after this short commercial break. If you're getting together for a business party or a dinner party or a family party and looking for a game to play, yeah, that's right. All of those. It works. If you go to CuriousHumansGame.com, you can get just the game for any occasion that you have, getting a group of people together and having a lot of fun. It's a question and answer game. That you ask a question about yourself, you say true or false, and everybody will predict what they think the answer might be. Will they be right? Will they be wrong? Doesn't matter. It's all about having fun and learning more about yourself and the friends around you. Curious Humans Game, when you go to their website, make sure you use checkout code. By the by, why? Because you will get 10% off. That's right. 10% off of any of their products, and they do ship worldwide. So, www.curioushumansgame.com. Once again, we're doing improv.
Ooh, I like improv.
Improv, yes.
All right, what do we got? Ooh, Pippin's getting on this
all
one.
All right, all right, all right, all right. I need a decade.
1930s.
The
30s. Ooh. Yeah.
Hey, you asked.
It was the Great Depression, in case you're unfamiliar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Okay.
So we got the 1930s, and I need a occupation.
Traveling salesman.
Traveling salesman.
Ooh.
Oh, and he's selling aircraft.
No, come on.
Perfect.
Vacuum cleaners.
No, that's perfect. Aircraft. We got traveling salesman in the 1930s selling aircraft. Do you see that, folks? That's right. That's right. Look up in the sky. Up in the sky. Do you see that? Oh, yes. That's a giant blimp. Look at that blimp. It's amazing. Oh, I can see on that blimp. It says adamandeve.com. That's right. Adamandeve.com. And what? Oh, my God. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity. The ship is just exploding with sexy, sexy toys. That's right, folks. Sexy, sexy toys. And you can get them right here. Oh, my gosh. If you go to adamandeve.com, you will be able to get these sexy, sexy toys at 50% off. You'll also get six videos on demand. Oh, my God. And free shipping. Free shipping. Folks, when you use checkout code by the by, that's BYTHEBI. Oh, the humanity. This is clearly the 1930s, and I am looking at adamandeve.com where you can get sexy, sexy toys exploding and falling to the ground. To the ground. You'll also get some sexy things thrown in your box as it gets shipped to your home. Oh, it's amazing, amazing, folks. That's right. www.adamandeve.com. Use checkout code by the by. BYTHEBI.
That was great. It's like Hindenburg porn.
It was. Yes.
If anybody skips these commercials nowadays, you're a fucking idiot, because they're just getting, Bradford's doing better and better with them. Yeah. Yeah. He's upping the commercial game.
For the record, the Hindenburg disaster happened in 1937. Like, literally, it was... when Angela said the 30s, I was like, ah, goddamn. And then traveling salesman, and you said aircraft, and I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah. All is right with the world. Okay. Etymology of polyamory. Now, seriously, y'all got to hang in here, because this is a bit...
So, I'm sorry, can you imagine somebody who skipped the commercials and then came back to that? Wait, what?
Well, they'll just have to go back, 30 seconds, 30 seconds.
So yeah. Polyamory is going to take a few minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, go for it.
Mm. Okay.
Took me a lifetime.
So far. So as you can probably imagine, the actual word polyamory is based on the Greek and Latin for many loves, right?
Sure.
So you've got poly for many, amour for love. Some will say French on the amour, whatever, but generally, yeah, French is based on Latin, so whatever. So Greek and Latin, many loves. Okay, so the history of it, though, and this is more fun, is that people, and also a bit more sordid, people that were involved in multiple partner relationships in, say, the 1960s, 70s, 80s, you know, kind of that time frame. So much later than you would actually probably expect. I would have thought the word would have come about much sooner.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Me too. Yeah.
So, but people in that time frame were kind of looking for a word to express what a multiple partner relationship was, right? Like, so a single word to sum this up, which can be hard. So one account says that the word polyamory was coined by a member of a polyamorous community. It's unclear exactly who it might have been, but one claim is that the word polyamory came as an outgrowth of the term polyfidelity, which Judson Bro Judd of the, I might butcher this, but the Carista, K-E-R-I-S-T-A,
okay.
Carista group, coined to mean faithful to many. So Carista was a polyamorous commune based in San Francisco from 1971 to 1991.
Right. Okay.
So they were really important in establishing the polyamory community both in the San Francisco area and then also nationwide, because I think it was like one of the first. So Judd, who was the co-founder of Carista, and even Eve, they intended the term polyfidelity to mean closed and committed family units of up to a dozen bonded lovers, sexually faithful, exclusive with each other. So then...
So it was a bunch of monogamous people in a family of, that they loved, but they were not related.
Right.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, I can handle that. All right.
So then Janet, who was a woman who lived at Carista for a while, she said that Geo Barnes of Carista, who was also part of this, coined the term polyfidelity during the group discussion. Quote, they were looking for something positive to say rather than to use the frequently used non-monogamous term. And so she says that the term polyfidelity became a more inclusive polyamory when Morning Glory Ravenheart, the senior wife of the foundational Ravenheart clan, this gets really complicated, don't worry. Morning Glory Ravenheart, the senior wife of the foundational Ravenheart clan, said, quote, came up with the term in the early 90s in reaction to the fact that Carista coined polyfidelity and it included sexual fidelity in your group. Many who were interested in being poly did not want fidelity as part of the form, so they used polyfidelity to describe themselves even if they weren't. This created discord in the community and infighting about what is fidelity, etc. So Morning Glory was part of the group searching for another umbrella term that would include those who wanted to be poly and love their partners, but could include those with or without any agreement to fidelity within a closed circle of lovers.
Okay.
So we're getting complicated and we're getting some infighting in this poly community here.
I also feel like when you entered this poly community, they put a hat on you that would be like,
well, I'm just
Ravenheart.
I'm also interested in it. Yeah. I'm also
Morning
interested
Glory.
In the fact that they also had a Discord chat.
That's right.
Okay. So then the Ravenheart website cites that the first appearance of the term polyamory was in Morning Glory's foundational, quote, A Bouquet of Lovers, also referred to as Rules of the Road, which appeared in an article in Green Egg, which was a Ravenheart Church of All Worlds publication. So it's in their own publication, right? So Morning Glory was searching for a simple term to express the idea of having multiple simultaneous sexual loving relationships without necessarily marrying everyone, and coined the term polyamory to be both an expression of the lifestyle and a more positive way to express what practitioners had previously labeled responsible non-monogamy, a term that had contentiously evolved into polyfidelity. So you can see, there's some confusion as to meanings and things and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I can see that how polyamory is more inclusive than polyfidelity. Or what was the other term?
Yeah.
Responsible non-monogamy. Yeah. So the Ravenheart clan also contributed the term monamory or love of one to the polyamorous lexicon to provide an alternative to the cultural conception that monogamy fits all occasions. When in current usage, it customarily refers to steady dating rather than simply marriage to one other person.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, right? So we have that version of the origin of the word polyamory.
Can I also just interject here say that this is a clear example of what happens when you mix love and politics.
And morning glories.
Ravenheart!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's clearly a bunch of people who live in a commune that want to argue with one another because they all want to be able to come up with the word.
So are you ready for more of the twist?
A twist.
A polyamory commune sounds great.
Oh, no, it sounds great. It does sound great.
I mean, one day we'll have our own, but that's fine.
Yeah. Is this a M. Night Shyamalan style twist?
Yeah. Okay.
Is in the end, we were all polyamorous all along.
Okay, so this twist is that in 1992, alt.polyamory and alt.config.
Oh my God, those were fun. Do you all remember the alt days?
They're Usenet news groups, right?
Yeah, man, okay. I got some of my best porn from there.
Okay. Right. No, I don't remember.
So here we go. So in 1992,
sorry.
On this, someone says, I propose to form the group alt.poly-amory. It would be a place for people who have multiple lovers to talk about the various problems unique to us. And then there was regarding reasons not to be monogamous in SOC, so I'm guessing social something, .singles, which is another Usenet group. Serial monogamy is often more risky than long-term polyamory, et cetera, et cetera. So then polyamory starts being mentioned in these Usenet groups, right? So in the Oxford English Dictionary, there's no reference in the etymology section to Morning Glory and the Ravenheart polyamory clan.
What?
Or like group. I shouldn't say clan. Whatever. So there's actually no reference to that. And even though that was supposedly in 1990 as opposed to 1992, the Usenet group. So there's a bit of like back and forth as to where was the actual first use of the word polyamory. And
I'm amazed it's so late, really. Me too. I thought it was going to be like 1,000 years old again, but
I would agree. But the Oxford English Dictionary defines it as the practice, state, or ability of having more than one sexual loving relationship at the same time with the full knowledge and consent of all partners involved, which kind of brings in and references key parts of Morning Glory's phrasing in the definition, right? So it kind of references it, but they don't say that it's the same. They're also taking it very literally in that the Usenet group is poly-amorous as opposed to one, right? So it gets into this whole little, like, to me it seems a bit of infighting and like, is it this, is it that, whatever. And to those people, those groups, I'm sure it's very, very important that like they're credited when they should be credited if they came up with the word, right? But it's hard to distinguish which one was first, also because they're pretty close in timelines. But it does look like you were saying, timeline-wise, that the word polyamory, polyamorous, polyamorist aren't really used much before 1990, no matter how you're looking at it, which I think is pretty late.
It leads me to believe that there was another word for it.
But there was polyfidelity before. But polyfidelity is not exactly the main thing, right? And so, yeah. So anyway, at some point, Jennifer Wasp was talking about how the word polyamory came up, like how they came up with the word polyamory in this. And she wrote, and I guess this was to who was asking her about it, the author who was asking her, but she wrote, Alan, you asked how I came up with the word polyamory. The answer is that I invented it from the blue. I was having a flame war on alt.sex with Mikhail Zeleny about the morality of having non-monogamous relationships. And A, got tired of typing non-monogamy, and B, it wasn't a good piece of rhetoric to use a negative, hyphenated word to make a positive point. So one night, either in the biophysics lab I worked in or the astronomy computer lab where my lover Greg Lindell worked, In the middle of composing a flame, I decided to make a new word.
In the middle of proposing a flame. I love that. That's right. Like, it's great to know that the internet has never, ever changed.
Yes, yes. After a couple of months, I got tired of the flame war and sort of liked the community that was developing around it. So I started the news group. Greg and I politicked a bit to get it widely picked up by sites we thought would find a following. I guess it worked. Although it's been decidedly inconvenient to be that Jennifer at parties, and I've changed my name in part to keep my coworkers and my son's friends from Googling me, as 15 minutes of fame goes, I'm pretty pleased with mine.
So I just want to say, with all due respect to Morning Glory, rest your soul, she has since passed away, mm-hmm. and to her for creating this wonderful word for something that we all really enjoy, I'm going to show a picture, and mm-hmm. I encourage everybody to Google Morning Glory Ravenheart.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see this picture.
This is her and one of her partners with literally a unicorn goat.
That right.
From the very beginning, they
oh, yes.
were part of the problem like mm-hmm. of unicorn hunting. Mm. And then also, if there's a picture of her literally with two unicorn goats.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah, wow.
What are the horns made out of?
They're goats.
But
I don't know if they've been surgically
but
altered.
It's been glued on there.
Whoa. What's happening with that horn? That's weird.
It ain't right.
No. It ain't right.
And honestly.
Was that yeah. a Tinder profile? It was on a subreddit somewhere.
Like, and again, with all due respect, because different strokes, different folks, but she does look like she is late for her LARPing.
LARPing.
Live action role playing.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
really, I don't see that the term doesn't seem that late to me based out of the fact that it's come out of modern academia is where essentially it is. Everything okay. that you've mentioned yeah, yeah. is around modern academia. And if you look at the trend through the 50s, 60s, 70s, we started to label everything.
Fair.
There's lots All and right. lots of labeling going on. Polyamory.
And also you have the sexual revolution, which brings
correct,
back a lot of that.
Which brings back yeah. a lot of okay. that. And it's having an agenda and having a voice.
Yeah,
and
which then requires labeling.
You need to have language around it that people can understand and do. Polyamory as a social construct, it's been around for thousands of years. There's documents of it in the native communities where there have been polyamorous relationships.
Alexander the Great had multiple partners.
Male, female, and everything in between.
Yeah, and that was the norm.
And that was the norm. Mm. And so it was the norm. And I think that's...
Genghis Khan had many wives.
Yes, he did. And so there's been a lot of examples of polyamory throughout history without having the label or the term. And I think it's just been bred out of academia to put an argument on paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it interesting that there's, multiple potential origins, but there's no real consensus as to what was actually first.
Yeah.
Because usually you can kind of pinpoint at least the start, but there's just a bit of contention over that.
This one's a mess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I want to change my name to Morning Glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now people, is it GIF or JIF?
Also, now we know we have the pretty one, the funny one. We know who the smart one is, and then the sexy one. That's you, buddy.
Oh, yay.
Okay, so we're going to go to limerence.
All right, to limerence.
So since the gentleman doesn't know what limerence is, it is obsessive infatuation with someone, usually accompanied by delusions of or a desire for an intense romantic relationship with that person.
It's that first love. It's puppy love. It's right. like when you first fall in love with somebody, how you can't stop thinking about them for the first six weeks.
So it's the crush.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to the point where you're like, I no longer care about you. It's great.
I've climbed 3 seconds after orgasm, is it?
It's right. Well, I've climbed that hill and now, good, you're still here.
Terrible, yeah.
And then Angela rolls over and looks at you and goes, are you okay to drive?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of my bed.
Yeah. So limerence does not have near a sordid history as polyamory does.
Right.
It's actually quite simple. It was coined in 1977.
By John Jacob Lim?
No.
Oh.
No. No, no.
I'm disappointed.
Back in your box.
Damn it.
1977 by Dorothy Tenoff, who was an American psychologist. She had a book called Love and Limerence, The Experience of Being in Love.
Oh, so she made up a word and then put it in the title of a book to give it validation.
Uh-huh.
Oh, fucking respect.
Uh-huh. And so this concept grew out of, she did a lot of work.
What year was it? I'm sorry.
1977.
Okay. Oh, that's the year I was born. Yay.
So it's good now. Good. Awesome. She did a lot of work in the mid-1960s where she interviewed more than 500 people on the topic of love. And that's where this idea of limerence came about. I think she was recognizing that stage of the process of love. And she says of the coinage of the term, quote, "I first used the term amorance, then I changed it back to limerence. It has no roots whatsoever. It looks nice. It works well in French. Take it from me. It has no etymology whatsoever."
Oh, okay. I love it. Short and sweet. Move on. What's the next word then?
I love shit like that. I'm always reminded of an episode of Archer where they're trying to get a gun or something out of the armory, and the guy says something, and one of the characters goes, "That word sounds made up." And he goes, "They all are." She's like, and that's true, because like all fucking words are made up.
Mm-hmm. So, actually, it's quite descriptive, really. It's quite smart, because the word limerence has no roots.
God.
After you have a root, it's not limerence anymore. Limerence.
Oh my God.
That's funny, actually.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hey? Yeah. Am I the sexy one now? Is he the funny one?
But it's so true, though. Like, every word has to come from somewhere, right?
Well, like, Shakespeare made up a shit ton of words.
1500.
What?
Don't you hate people like me?
So much rage in my heart right now. Can you name two of them?
Assassination.
No.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Angela's over there Googling it.
Fact checking now.
He made up assassination.
Correct. The term assassination comes from a Shakespearean play.
Wow.
And we're either going to cut this from the podcast or I'm going to look like an idiot, so I'm going to need a new title, but the fact checked is almost in.
10 words that Shakespeare never invented.
Oh. I've been done by urban myths.
Let's see if it's there.
He's the sexy one.
No, it was in use for several decades before Shakespeare first used it.
Oh,
right. So
we'll cut that.
We'll cut that.
That's fine, though. Right, but so, don't cut that. Like, it's...
Give me a word that Shakespeare invented. Because as I understood it, Shakespeare may have invented drag, which was a...
As a concept or as a word?
As a word, because he would write it in notes on the right-hand side of his scripts, and it stood for dressed resembling a girl.
Oh.
That's very cool.
I never thought about drag standing for that, but fuck, that's good, whether it's true or not.
I don't know if that's true, but I do remember hearing that Shakespeare wrote that in the... margins.
We're going to do quick and dirty research. We're going to go to Google and just see what Google Wikipedia says about that. Yeah.
This is probably the...
Was there a question on the word bee?
The question you get around Google, because, you know, I've often seen for years and been taught, and I'm pretty sure that assassination came from an English class that I'd taken at some stage. And, yeah, other words that he's got is advertising, amazement, bedroom, buzzer.
Buzzer.
Yeah. Floored.
I thought the buzzer was Cleopatra because she made a dildo with bees inside.
Lustrous.
As a side note, do you know that that's not true?
Yeah.
So that is a very common myth, but it was used for us, we look at it as a positive because she had sexual power. Uh-huh. But at the time, it was used as a negative. So that was to make her sound.
To belittle
her because she was so obsessed with sex that she wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. Really. The amount of shit like Catherine the Great dying while fucking a horse. Of course that's not true.
No.
It's just so much of sexual, women's sexual history is completely made up to make them sound like sluts. It's depressing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Puking, radiance, torture, vaulting.
Well, I thought he made these up all the word
words.
Be,
these are all
to
words
be or not
that,
to be.
Yeah. Through. Yeah. The true information that we've got are attributed to Shakespeare. Now, I'm not going to say that they weren't in use beforehand, but he was the one that put them into print and into play and into common language.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because it looks like the actual the term drag here came to be in, I would say, around 1870, so kind of mid to late 1800s. And it was referring to male performers wearing petticoats, and the petticoats would drag on the floor. So the women's clothing that they would wear would drag on the floor.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'll also say that according to RuPaul's dragrace.fandom.com, mm-hmm. drag, an acronym for dressed resembling a girl, from which the term drag is said to ostensibly originate. The term is said to date back to Shakespearean times when male theatrical actors would play female roles.
Yeah. Which was very, very common.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's hugely common.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't let women get on a stage at all.
No way at all.
No. Oh, the humanity.
The humanity, we can't do that.
No, yeah, no. Please.
And I guess this is just something that we...
Their brains actually cannot handle it. We know that women just cannot...
Can't handle that at all. No. And I guess this is something that we've just got. We live in a modern era of everything being recorded. Like we are right now.
He says into a microphone.
Yeah.
And everything that we do, we say, we touch, seems to be recorded.
Like my
Whereas 500, actually, 600
actually
years ago.
Actually, your penis is recorded because you can unlock your phone with it.
Hey.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Not anymore because it's no longer my face.
It's facial recognition.
And I've yet to put googly eyes on my penis. I have a new goal for the weekend. But I know what you mean.
You got to get it
right.
Yeah. So let's just say there were a couple of thousand words put in the dictionary around that time.
Mm. Fine.
Because of Shakespeare's work.
But assassination wasn't one of them.
No, assassination is one of them.
I would not doubt that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Is that the end for Limerence?
Yes.
Are we moving into romantic love?
Yes, we are.
Well, that comes after Limerence, doesn't it?
Well, that will have to come next week. Look, if you started this podcast hoping to hear the definition and history of the word queer, well, you're going to have to wait a week. Because arguably, I mean, and I think that nobody will argue, we're all here a bunch of cunts.
And we talked a lot, apparently. Didn't expect that, you know, shocker.
That's what happens when you have two extra people on your podcast of two people. You twice talk as much. You twice talk as much.
Now you're talking Shakespearean language, yeah.
To be or not to be, will you be here next week? That is the question. If you can't wait till next week, well, email us, theatomsoflove@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on any of our socials. We are at By the By Podcast on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter. Hit us up on our website, www.bytheby.com.au. Go to the contact page. You can contact us directly through there. You can also see where we are through the events page. Thank you so much to our brilliant guests, our sexy guests. And unfortunately, I have to admit, they're both a little from column A and a little on column D. See what I did there?
Yeah. Uh-huh,
uh-huh. I said my D. We will see you all home next week. Home being, you know, your podcast.
Uh-huh,
our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the by. And say goodbye.
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 Goodbye.